Welcome to the podcast Career Connections with the HR Insider, where we teach you how to stay, flow, or go in your career with your host, Barbara Mason, bringing you 20 years of the inside scoop and what really matters in your career. Our passion is helping you find yours.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited for another episode of Career Connections. In this episode, I'm going to invite you into a conversation that I had with Andrea Holyfield, who's another career transition coach. We went together on a Instagram Live and talked about how to find your passion during this COVID crisis. And I thought it'd be great tips for the podcast audience to hear some of the things that we talked about. So join in and take a listen to our conversation. I'll see you on the inside.
How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
We are good over here. Look, we are bosses, girl. We figured this thing on out, didn't we?
Listen, I had a little bit of fear, just a little bit, but we got it done.
We got it done right on the dot. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so it's good to see you. I'm happy to go live with you today. Thanks. We're going to have tons of fun.
I'm glad that we're doing this. A little bit about me. I am a career transition and career management professional. I've been in this space for around 15 years. And just very recently, as in like a few weeks ago, turned in that notice and said, hey, I want to do this a different way. I want to make myself available to individuals in transition, just a little bit different than we are doing it in the corporate space. Mm-hmm. And so literally turned in my resignation right before we went under quarantine.
Wow.
So this is an exciting time. And I'm glad that we're having this conversation about pivoting in this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey. And so, go ahead.
No, I'm just seeing people and I'm just saying, hey.
Hey, you guys. Thank you guys so much for joining. Drop us a comment and all that. And certainly, if you have questions, please put them down in the comments below. We're happy. We're just here to provide some value and to just have a conversation. So this is not scripted. I mean, literally, we said, hey, let's go live. I'm like, oh, okay. And we talked last night. She was like, let's just flow with it. I'm like, okay. So we literally are just going to have a conversation. We're two HR professionals, and we're really just inviting you to have a conversation with us. That's kind of how I see it. So one of the things I think is important for us to talk about, Andrea, is why is now a good time? So kind of let's just start with that about why now is a good time. And I'll kind of just jump off and you jump in, however. But for those that are watching and listening, this whole COVID-19 has everybody in some state, whether it's frustration, anxiety, uncertainty. And what I try to do is, even though it may be a bad situation, is to try to find the positive and get the lesson and to leverage the time. Because us worrying and being anxious about it is not going to change it at all. And so I think that while we have this time, it's a good time to be internal and self-reflect and think about how you're feeling during this time. And if you haven't been happy before this whole quarantine, this is a good time to figure out why and to get on a pathway to something that you do love. And I say it's the time now because for most of you, you have more time than you did before.
Yeah.
Now, I know if you're like me, you're homeschooling kids.
Right.
You know, and my kids are older, so it's not as much of a strain as for those who have little ones. But I've saved time in my commute. My kids, we live 45 minutes from their school. So that's an hour and a half one way that I've gained back. So times two, that's 3 hours in my day that I've gained back in my day. And so one of the reasons I think is to leverage the time that you have in your life looks a little different.
Yeah.
Your times may be different, but it does look different. So Andrea, I'll let you jump in as well. Why do you think that now is a good time?
Sure. So also I want to open up the people that are watching, send us a comment and let us know how you're feeling right now. I think
it
would be awesome if we can kind of get some of that feedback and be able to speak to that. But similarly, in the same space, I live on a good day about an hour and 15 minutes away from my last job. And if someone was changing a tire or it was raining, that was easily an hour and a half, right? So I do have some time back in my day. Even if I was doing the exact same job, I'd have another 3 hours, right? But I'm doing something a little different. And what I found talking to my clients and my potential clients is that they're finding time to speak with us, speak with me. They don't have to hide. They don't have to sneak off and have that conversation. They don't have to go downstairs and have that interview, right? They don't have to sneak online and get that information. So there's just some freedom that individuals didn't have just a few weeks ago to really be intentional about their time and their conversations.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the other things that strikes me is that I know for me, and again, I'm an entrepreneur, so I work from home every day now, but it's given me a chance to think. Because even as an entrepreneur, I mean, my job is just different. It's just at home. I'm still working. But with the hustle and bustle of being a wife and a mother and all of that, I have time to really think. Man, there's quiet time. And so now there's a couple of things. So I'm gaining 3 hours back. Yeah. So what I could do is I could sleep in later, which I do. I don't get up at 5:30 in the morning. And there is no shame and there is no judgment.
Absolutely.
But I still get up before my kids. Yeah. And so I still have quiet time to really think about, okay, now how do I need to pivot? Do I need to pivot? Am I enjoying this? How do I like my kids being at home? How does that interrupt my flow or add to my flow? And so the point is that if nothing else, you should have at least some time to think. Because if you're like me, when I worked in the corporate world, on the way to work, I was on a call. On the way home, I was on a call. Yeah. What about you, Angie? You think the same thing?
Absolutely. One of the things that I was trying to be very intentional about before leaving corporate was developing some morning ritual. I just think it's really important to have a consistent morning introduction where you set your intentions, you look at your goals, you know, you do things that fill your heart and your soul, right? And I was really struggling to find that time, waking up at 5 and trying to be out the door at, you know, a certain time. And then on the road, just bumper to bumper traffic, I was not in my zen when I arrived at work.
Yeah, you get to work, you're like, you're already frustrated.
I'm already at 8 o'clock, I'm already at my wit's end, right? And so I've really been using this time to say, what makes me feel good in the morning? So for my pause, you know, this isn't necessarily saying people need to jump up and start something new. For me, it's been, let me stop in the morning, have some tea, herbal tea, not pick up a coffee from Starbucks, you know, or just let me have some herbal tea. Let me spend some time with my plants. Let me water my plants. Let me sit outside in my garden a little bit. Let me just do some things to start myself off already filled so that I'm not drained by the end of the day.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I like what you said about that this necessarily doesn't mean that you have to go do something so revolutionary that you're going to change your career. But I do think it's about you getting in touch, like using the time that you have and getting in touch with, okay, well, now that I got this extra time, how do I want to use it? Yeah. And I agree with what you said about the morning ritual. Look, that's real.
Yes.
That is getting up at 5, and I'm not a morning person, okay? I'm a night person. If I had my way, even when I worked in corporate America, if I could have worked second shift, that would have been like heaven on earth to me, right? But because I got a family and kids, that just didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
But so I'm not a morning person. Mm-hmm. And so I can function and people think that I am, but I don't like it.
Yeah. It's draining.
I see what you're saying. It is. So getting up at 5:30, it's just enough for me to get my kids ready and get out the door.
Yeah.
Versus now I get up and I do have that quiet time. I do have my own little ritual. Like I'll make me a smoothie. I have my prayer. I have my devotion and it's uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And it starts my day off the right way. Now I did see a comment, Margo, you said that you're struggling with structure. Okay. Okay. So we can certainly talk about that. And I think Andrea mentioned that about finding a way to start your morning. And I think mornings are a great way to set the tone for your day. And so, again, I'll talk about my structure. Again, I wake up, you know, usually, you know, between 6 and 7. You know, sometimes it's 7:30. Again, it's whatever.
No
it doesn't matter.
Do you?
What I got going on. But one thing is consistent. I usually start my day with a smoothie. So I get, like, my vegetables and all that stuff in. And I don't have, you know, want to be making a big breakfast at that time. And then I have prayer and devotion. So that's kind of how my day starts.
Yeah.
Is that I have to kind of, and I... My rule is that I really don't talk to anybody else in my house until I've done that. Mm-hmm. So that's what's kind of the structure that I provide for myself. Mm-hmm. One, I'm probably not fit to talk to you until I talk to truth be told, but I need to kind of get my mind set. Okay, this is what I want to accomplish today. So Andrea, talk a little bit. You talked about your tea and all that good stuff. So
and someone said green tea. Me too. So I'm on my green tea and ginger right now with everything that's going on. But I will say, and then I saw another comment about time management. I'll say that for most of us, this is the most control we've had over our own time in a long time.
Yes.
Our time has been mandated by our job, our children's schedules, you know, everything else externally. So this is the first time we've had to be in control of our time. And it's a little bit anxiety provoking for a lot of us. And so, like, recognize that. Recognize the fact that this is new, and give yourself a little bit of peace and grace.
Yeah.
So that you're not beating yourself up for that, you know, because that's a struggle, because it's a struggle for a lot of us. For me, and I can tell you what works for me, I love my morning planning. So I will plan on Sunday for my week, you know, down to what social media I'm doing and what networking conversations I have, what appointments. So I'll do that on Sunday. But then in the morning, as part of my morning ritual, I'm also looking at my day and having to figure out, what are my responsibilities? What do I owe outside of myself? Like, what do my kids need, you know? And then what do I want to get done? So for me, I have to be very intentional about my long-term and short-term goals. And I found that to be helpful with time management.
Yes.
Someone said that they have external responsibilities, right? That sometimes are outside of their control. And I totally get that. Mm-hmm. 2 hours in the morning dealing with external responsibilities. And so that's why I said, you know, have a little grace, because I'm telling you what works for me, but we all have our own individual hurdles and challenges that we have to navigate.
Yeah. And I think one thing, like you mentioned, is to be real about your situation. And so even though I'm homeschooling, I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And so that looks much different than people that may have a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Yes.
I mean, I can tell my kids, go in and do your work.
You know, right.
I'm going to inspect what I expect, but I don't have to hold their hand. So that makes my situation much different than some of you. And so I like what you said, Andrea, about giving yourself grace.
Yeah.
And figuring out what works for you. So maybe the morning time, if you have external responsibilities, maybe that's not your time. Maybe you can allot, you know, 2 to 3 or whatever. I think the thing is to be intentional.
Yes.
And have some protected time as much as you can, and have some boundaries. And you figure out what that works for you.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to mention is, don't feel like you got to have 5 hours, you know,
right.
Because that's not realistic for many of us.
Right.
If it is 45 minutes, then protect it and use it. I want to make sure I didn't miss any comments. So one of the things about finding your passion, and I think we've started to touch on it a little bit, is you mentioned that we're now in control of our time, and so we can kind of navigate, which can be anxiety provoking, like you said, but it also can be a way for you to get in touch with what you like and what you don't like. And so one of the things I've been talking to my clients about is that during this transition, I want you to check in with yourself. Do you like your kids being home? Do you like working at home with your spouse? If you live by yourself, do you like it? Do you not? And if not, why?
Yeah.
And to me, part of finding your passion is to be really self-aware and self-reflective. I believe that your body tells you
absolutely
when it enjoys something and when it doesn't. You want to talk about that? I see you nodding.
No, I'm so in agreement with you. One of the stories that I shared kind of with my tribe about the weekend was that I pulled my sewing machine out this weekend, and I was like, okay, people need masks. I'm going to jump in here and start making masks, because I was distracted for a moment and thought that that was something that I wanted to focus on doing, right? But it didn't feel good. By the time I got all that stuff set up and started sewing, I was stressed. I was irritated. And I was like, this is not my calling, right? Like, I don't know. Someone needs to be doing this, but it's not me. And so being okay with, as you said, being okay with what feels good and recognizing what doesn't feel good, this is a great time to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And again, I like what you said about, you know, the whole sewing thing. So one of the things that I always say is that just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
You know, and so it sounds like, Andrea, you can sew.
I can.
Now I can't. But you can, but you didn't like it. It was so funny. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she has a 16-year-old daughter too.
Okay.
And her daughter says that she wants to, you know, do hair and have a hair salon.
Okay.
And so since she's been home, her mom was like, hey, I want you to put some braids in my hair and all that. And so she called me and she was like, she said she don't want to do this. And I said, interesting. Why? It's not what she thought it was, or it's not the fulfillment. And so I think one of the things is, and finding your passion, one, you have to walk your own race, or run your own race. And just because you have the ability to do something, it's much more than that. You have to enjoy it.
Yes.
You have to get excited about it.
Yes.
And so one of the things is I can do certain things. And when I first started my business, I was doing everything because I was trying to see what sticks, what people would pay for. And I offered everything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I figured out, I don't like doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to offer that anymore because I personally don't like it. And so I think you're right. You have to be okay with not being confined to what people think you should do.
Right.
What people expect. And, well, I can do it. Because many of your own jobs that you can do, but you don't like it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know what? Let's talk about some practical, like real practical tools. Like I've been thinking about what I'm walking my clients through as far as tools during this time. And one of the things that we went back to is just good old fashioned journaling, right?
Mm.
Let's pull out the journals. Let's look at some of the journals that we've already, you know, written and completed. We probably have, if you're like me, you've got books all over here with some notes and thoughts. What were you thinking about a few months ago that's still a theme that you're still thinking about, right? What do you have some time to invest in now that maybe was something that you thought about a while ago? But journaling, putting those thoughts on paper and spending some time with them, that's an activity that we can all do right now during this kind of untraditional time that we're in that can be very helpful.
Yeah, I like that idea as well. I'm not an avid, I have journal, but I'm not a consistent journaler.
Okay.
But what I have done, which I think falls in line with that, is that I do like to read. Now, I had more time back then than I do now. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's really interesting to me, there's this book that someone gave me back in 2012.
Okay.
And it's absolutely one of my favorite books. It's called Halftime, Moving from Success to Significance. And it talks about the later half of your life and how your career and your goals and stuff change and how you really want to be significant and not necessarily successful.
Okay.
Well, when that person gave it to me, I was in my corporate job, happy, doing what I love, but I read the book because it was just intriguing to me. And I wrote, there were some activities and I wrote some stuff down and I kind of put it away. I kid you not. I picked it up when I moved, which was last summer.
Uh-huh.
Cause you know how you find stuff when you move.
Yes.
And I was reading some of the stuff that I wrote that I wasn't even in my mind consciously aware of about what I wanted my life to be like in the second half. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
There was this chart that said, you know, kind of plot out what parts of your life you're happy with and what you're not. And it was amazing to me. And that's how I know the answers are inside of you.
Yes.
Your body tells you. You may not be consciously aware because you're so busy, but what I wrote down in that book is exactly what I'm doing now. I wrote in the book that I want to help people in a more impactful way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like, I mean, I had this big job, but I wasn't touching the people, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
And so I think the journaling and writing down helps you because it's a safe place. Nobody has to read it.
Right.
You don't have to have the right punctuation. You don't have to make it pretty.
Right.
Just write down even something that's like what I enjoyed about today and what I didn't enjoy about today.
Yeah.
You have to get in touch with that kind of stuff.
And the thing is that it may look different. So for you, you said, you know, I wrote these things a while back and I'm picking it up today. And it's like, wow, you may not have known what that will look like. There was
yes.
a feeling, right? There's a feeling that we can get down on paper. And then when we get in touch with that feeling, it can start to materialize for us. Right. And so don't worry about putting a title on it. Now's not the time to say, okay, I want to be this.
It's
right. I want to feel like this. I want to impact people in this way. This is what I want to give to the world. Like, think about those abstract thoughts and then you can start to kind of help them materialize.
Yep. I like that.
I agree. And then it was that Joan who said, you know, you can learn so much about yourself by journaling. And I definitely agree with that.
Absolutely. And I always say self-awareness is the foundation of any type of career change. So I think another practical tip is can be a career assessment. I think people sometimes struggle with, I don't know what I'm good at and I don't think I have any strengths. And that is just a fallacy because everybody has strengths. But because it's so easy to you, it's hard for you to see. And so I think a practical tool can be a career assessment if you do the right one. It needs to be thorough. It needs to, you know, kind of hit. And you know, what I kind of walk my clients through are four things: is personality, your interests, your skills, and your values. Mm-hmm. And all four of those things combined will help lead you to different careers that honor those four things. And so I think that's one practical tool. Have you used any of that before as well?
I definitely value career assessment. So I'm not the coach that leads with the assessment.
Right.
You know, I definitely want to talk to you and understand what your end goals are. But I agree with you that I think that career assessments can be just vital in helping you tap into those things that maybe you're just not aware of. And how does my personality play into things? And what are my strengths? And what are the skills that connect to what employers are looking for these days? I definitely agree with you that those things can be helpful.
Yeah, I think another practical tool is also sometimes asking other people what are my strengths, or even reflecting on what do people ask me to do all the time?
Yes.
You know, what are people always coming to me for? Because I think a lot of people, they have a hard time conceptualizing, well, okay, I know I don't like what I'm doing, but I'm not sure what I want to go with.
Yes.
And I think the bridge to that, again, is you being reflect, okay, what do people ask me for? Because that's going to give you the identification of what your skills are and what you're good at. Mm-hmm. Then you look at, what do you enjoy? What do you do that passes the time away? Mm-hmm. What do you do? Like you said, you were sewing those masks and you're like, I don't like this. Like, this is not.
I said, y'all can have these masks.
I can sew a button on if I need it. I can hear something for an emergency, but I'm not trying to be a mask. So
yeah. No.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts on any other practical tips that you have?
So great. So, you know, just can I speak to something that you just said?
Yeah.
I actually hired a coach not too long ago. People don't believe it, but coaches hire coaches.
Oh, right? Yes, absolutely.
So I hired a coach not too long ago. And one of the activities that she directed me to do was actually to ask my community, what do they value about me? And what do they think about, you know, what skills do they think that I have? So there's one thing coming from me. What do I think that I'm good at? And what do I think that I communicate to others? But there's a whole other story when you start asking other people, where do you find value in me? What do I do? Right? And so I think that that's an easy something that people can do, an easy self-assessment that people can kind of do on their own asking others. So I just wanted to speak to that. But another thing that I value, and I know that not everyone's into them, but I really love vision boards. I've been using vision boards for years and years. Now's a great time to update your vision board. And you don't have to run out and get magazines. If you're working with a coach and you're doing those assessments, then you can sit down and create a digital vision board and share that digitally. My students, I'm launching a course right now that's on career transition. And that's one of their assignments, that they created a digital vision board based on some of the things that we're talking about. So I think that that's a very easy tool that people can use to help give themselves some vision on those thoughts and feelings that we were just talking about.
Yeah, I like that. And that kind of goes along with the writing stuff down in the journaling, because I think when you write it, it makes it real. And then you have a repository to go back and take a look at. And then the vision board is something visual that you can see to kind of help remind you, you know, oh, okay, this is where I said I'm headed. This is what I want. I think another thing as you're trying to think about what your passion is, or maybe making some transition, is that I think that you need to always validate it. Because I think we can have a concept of what something is, but until you do the thing, you know, so do it in a low risk way. So I'll just use your example about the mask. Let's just say that you were in this transition. You thought, you know what? I love to sew. I always loved that when I was a little girl. I think I'm going to be a seamstress.
Yes.
Do one project and see how you feel. Did you enjoy it? Did you like it? Mm-hmm. Or did you not? Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started my undergrad, I was a computer science major. Not an HR major.
Okay.
And people was like, really? And I'm like, yes, I was. Because I was in this program. I was working for NASA during high school. And so I was working with tons of engineers working on computer programming. Okay. I was 16, making great money working for the government.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was kind of cool and all that. But when I got to college and started doing the thing and like writing programs and code, I could do it. I had an A in the class. Yes. I hated it.
Yes.
And so you have to validate in some, again, especially if you're going to make a transition, you need to validate in some small way.
Yeah.
If you think that you want to go own your own hair salon, do some of your friends' hair. One, can you do it? Does it look right? Do you enjoy it?
Right.
Or whatever. So those, again, I think you have to validate in a small way.
Yeah.
To say, okay, would I want to do this vocationally, or is this just going to be my hobby? When I call upon it when I need to or when I have to.
So years ago, when I worked in higher education, we were having our students conduct informational interviews. Mm. So before you graduate, I want you to go out and meet with professionals that are doing the job that you're going to end up doing and talk to them at a couple of different levels and, you know, ask them about what it's like doing their job and what their day-to-day tasks and responsibilities are. Take a look at the environment that they work in, right? And I've continued that practice with adults, even executives that I work mm-hmm. with. And I said, yep. hey, you need to get out there and do some informational interviews. You need yes. to talk to people to see if what you think you're doing is what's actually getting done, right?
Yes.
And I think to your point about validating, that's another great way. And guess what? People are home right now. They have a little time.
So yes,
you
just
can
a little
probably
bit.
Get a conversation in very easily right now with a couple of professionals that you're connected with on LinkedIn.
Yes, I love the informational interviews. I also use that with my clients as well. And I've said the same thing, is that this is a great time to network.
Yes.
Even recruiters got time.
Yes.
You know, to answer a few questions when normally they don't have time to answer right. those questions. And so, again, we've talked about, you know, several ways. And you guys that are watching, please put in your questions and let us know what your, you know, questions are about any of the tips that we've already shared or just what you're feeling,
Wait,
you know, during this time.
Can I ask Joan, who's so young? I want to know, was she talking about me or you? She's so young. And so she's about to be my best friend if she's talking about me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did see her comment. Joan is one of my clients. I think she's talking about the testimonial video about me walking away from my computer science.
Oh,
I think that's what she's talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
But I can't be for sure. Joan, let us know.
Wishful thinking. I thought maybe she was talking about me.
What questions do you guys have? What questions do you guys have? I'm trying to think if there's any more tips. Again, those are the things that I think are really, really key. But I also want to validate and just mention that I know it's not easy.
Right.
I'll, you know, just from my own experience, when you have done something for so long and it's what you know.
Yeah.
And it's what feels comfortable, then change can be a little scary. And so I don't want to leave this video without at least mentioning that when you're trying to transition to something different, or when you're trying to be on a journey to find out what really is my passion, what is my purpose, that is not an easy journey. It is a necessary journey, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
And so for me, some of the things that you really need to take into account is always know your why. So what one of the things I tell my clients is that if you're unhappy in what you're doing, why?
Uh-huh.
Before you jump, you have to know what is frustrating you right now so that you don't duplicate the same mistakes or the same feeling or the same situation.
Yeah. We often try to run from ourselves.
Yes.
Right. But we're going to take ourselves with us in every single situation that we're in. So if there's something in the job that is, you know, that's causing you some discomfort, is that job related? How's that going to be different in the next experience?
Right.
Or is there something in you that you're struggling with? And
right.
that, I think that's an ongoing journey. I don't expect that now I have arrived, right? I'm in this
yeah.
business now and I'm helping people. I'm done. The end.
Yeah.
This is a process and it's an ongoing process.
Yep. Okay. I see a comment that sometimes it's the company, not the actual job. I think that's a great point. And again, that's why you have to dig in, especially, you know, with our clients about, tell me what's going on. Why do you feel like you need to transition? And I actually had a client, like it's not what she did. She loved what she did.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she didn't, but it was her culture and the environment in which she was doing it. So I think that's a great comment about sometimes it's not the job, it's the company, or it could be your leader. But
yes.
that's why you have to ask why before you jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it is something about the company, if it's company culture, then how do you make sure that that's not the next experience that you
right.
have, right? So what questions what have I learned in this culture that will prevent me from ending up in the exact same space once I take the leap? Because, you know, we can say that we prefer not to work under a micromanager, but I've never heard a micromanager say, sure, oh yeah, no, I am a micromanager.
Most right, people, exactly.
Most people don't recognize that, right? So there's still some introspection that we do, even if the problem is coming from external. What do we need to do to make sure that we don't end up in that environment once we take the leap?
Yeah, And I also think that the way that companies are handling this tells you a lot about your company. So it's a great way for you to check in. How have they treated you during this time? Some companies are handling it beautifully, and I've heard horror stories about how some companies are handling it. So I think that also, you know, gives you clues. And again, it doesn't make the company right. It's all about what you like and what you value.
Right.
And so again, it everything goes back to self-introspection. You have to know thyself.
Yeah.
Because we're all different, and what may appeal to me may not appeal to you.
Barbara, I remember conducting it. Well, I wasn't conducting. I was leaving a job, and I was doing the exit interview, and they were asking probing questions about the manager. And I remember being at a place in my life where I could say, he is who he is as a leader. I'm the one with the issue, which is why I am leaving. I don't expect this man to change who
right.
he is as a professional, right? And so I was at a point in my life where I could honestly say, the rest of the team is happy. Yeah. I'm the one, I'm struggling in this space. So let me remove myself from this space. But I learned so much just in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always moments in our life. This is a big one to learn about ourselves. Yes. I think also having a great attitude is key, and mindset. We didn't really talk a lot about mindset, but I think mindset is key.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of when you're trying to make a pivot or a transition. And again, everybody's transition. Some are big, I need to leave and go to a whole completely different career.
Right.
Some may be, I need a different company. Some may be, I want to start my own business. Everybody's transition is different,
yeah.
but it all takes the right mindset and the perseverance
yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was trying to make sure, do we have any questions out there? I would love to hear from you guys. What are your thoughts? What are your questions? How are you feeling? Do you like what you're doing? You kind of like it? What are your fears? I'll give it to me because I know there's a delay.
Sure.
For sure. And as we, you know, as we kind of come to a close, if there's no questions, you know, one of the things I think back to my own personal experience about what made me finally transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got in touch with what I wanted for my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great career. I don't take anything away from that. I've had a wonderful career. But in terms of my life, I wasn't really able to live my life because all of my energy was to this 9-to-5. So for me, I wanted a different life. And I really think that your career and your life go together.
Yes.
And one of the things that sometimes we don't do is that we focus on one and not the other. And whatever you focus on will grow.
Yes.
So I hear the amen in that.
Yes, ma'am.
So whatever you focus on will grow. And I think that you have to have a dual focus. And I think that your career should honor your life. You need to think about, what type of lifestyle do I want to live? What is important to me? What are my values? You know, and not to say that family is not a value for you if you're okay with traveling, you know, 3 times a week. I mean, I've done that, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Didn't mean that family was not a value to me. But it certainly was a lower priority. I was trying to climb the corporate ladder. But then once I got to the top, I'm like, oh, well now, you know. And it was good until it wasn't good anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that we go through stages in our life, which means that you're going to go through seasons and stages in your career.
Absolutely. So well said. I definitely agree. I think for me, making the decision to take the leap was all about wanting to honor my whole self. So, you know, you talked about making sure that we think about our life and our career. And for me, even though I'm a mom and all of that, I was thinking very selfishly about Andrea. And I was like, you know what? I am not really giving the way that I want to give. There is a way that you do this work when you're in corporate. I couldn't talk to people about spirituality, about, you know, manifestation, about, you know, there are just parts of this whole process that I couldn't get into because that's not the corporate way of doing things. And I just didn't feel like I was serving my clients. So to be authentic is extremely important to me. And I really encourage others to think, like, are you showing up as you in as many moments as possible, right? Mm-hmm. So you might have to code switch, you may have to do other things, but are there more moments than not that you're showing up and you're feeling authentically you? During this time of pause with COVID-19, reflect on that. Am I me when I, because it's exhausting to not be you.
Right?
It is exhausting to sit in a session and want to say something, but I know I can't say it, right? And want to provide a reference and I can't provide a reference. But there is this freedom in being you, walking up, waking up in the morning, drinking your green tea, feeling like I'm me.
Have mercy.
You know, going to
yes.
the day, feeling like I'm me. It's just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I mean, you said a lot of good, I mean, that resonates with me so well. I love what you said about you wanted to, you know, you were thinking selfishly about yourself. And, you know, I wouldn't even use the word selfish. I mean, yes, it was about you, but I think that's what we all have to do in order to give to other people.
Yes.
And we've said this, I know we've beat a dead horse about it comes down to self-awareness,
yes.
but it is the foundation of everything that you do. You cannot pour from an empty cup.
No.
You have nothing to pour. You think that you're doing a good job, but until you honor you first and do what you are called to do, you cannot give in the way that you're meant to give. And the thing about it is that we have a responsibility.
Yes.
I figured out and realized I have a responsibility. So the days when I don't feel like doing it, I have a responsibility because somebody needs me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that each of us has gifts that only we can deliver.
Yes.
Whether that is in a corporate space, an entrepreneurial space, I'm not saying that everybody has to be an entrepreneur.
No.
Because I think there, again, there's times and seasons for all of us. And your season for your career may be in the corporate world. That's okay.
Absolutely.
Do you and be authentic.
Yes.
And I'm like you, I was not able to be authentic. At the end, I was like, I have to transform into somebody else every day I walk through these doors.
Ooh.
Transform. Do you hear me?
That's tiring. Oh my goodness.
It is exhausting. It's mentally stressing. It's depressing. It's everything else. And I couldn't do it any longer. And so, again, that goes back to whatever your values are in the situation that you're in. So, yeah, we've said a whole lot.
I thought you said no preaching, Barbara. You just said a whole sermon.
Look, I am so passionate about this. And I think you guys can probably both see our passion. When you do the thing that you're meant to do,
yeah,
it's easy.
Yes.
I don't even know what that is because it don't matter.
Right.
I can just do what I want to do every single day.
Absolutely.
It don't matter if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. So let's see if there's any questions that we missed during our sermons.
Okay.
Yes, Joan, you said that's why you walked. You couldn't fake things. Was not in an interview situation. Yep. Shonda says draining. Yep. It is draining. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you guys have any questions at all? Where are you in your journey? We would love to know. Love to know. This has been fun.
It has. I'm so glad we decided to do this.
I know.
And look what networking will do. Just having a conversation and saying, hey, let's jump on live and let's do this. I have really enjoyed this.
Yes, me too. And I think one other point, as we're, you know, coming to a close, we don't see any questions. Oh, thanks for the sermon. is the ability and the need to execute.
Yes.
So after all the stuff that we've said, once you've thought about it, prayed about it, you wrote it down, you told people, you still got to go do something. You have to execute. And one of the things I have learned being an entrepreneur is to not procrastinate. It has helped my procrastination a ton. And I was just telling my husband that if COVID don't cure your procrastination, I don't know what will. And I said that from a personal note because I thought I bought in bulk. But when this crisis hit and I looked at how much toilet tissue I had, I'm obviously not buying in bulk. You know? So you got to execute. And so we're like planting a garden for the first time.
I'm so excited about that.
I know.
I can't wait to see your pictures.
I'm gonna send you some because we did some seedlings the other day.
Okay.
But we're doing it for the first time. And so I bought seeds like in February or whatever, but I didn't buy enough seeds. Well, now you can't get any seeds. because it is on lockdown. My point is this, is that you have to execute. And literally, y'all won't believe this, but Andrea and I talked literally last week on LinkedIn. We're LinkedIn connections. I reached out to her and just said, hey, how are you doing or whatever? And literally within minutes, hey, let's go live. That was like last Wednesday or Thursday?
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we set up a date. It was this date. And here you go.
Yes.
It don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. Such a good point.
Just do it. Just get it done. Just get it done. Oh, somebody else says gardening is relaxing. Yeah, I'm getting into that. I just don't know what I'm doing. She gonna help me though.
It is. You have a friend in me. I'm gonna help you. And the thing about gardening is you learn. It's a lifelong process. So you'll learn some things as you go. But can I speak to your gardening reference and even to this example that you made about us getting together? We connected on LinkedIn probably a year ago.
Yes.
So we planted a seed of connection a year ago. Yes. Last week, we said, hey, how are you? And hey, let's do this.
Yes.
And now we're on this call. But we're here because a seed was planted last year. And then we jumped in and we executed for a time such as now. So I think it's really important that people think about the seeds that they're planting now, the literal seeds like your garden.
Yes.
Right? And then even the seeds that I mentioned and just planting those relationships, having those conversations. You never know where things are going to lead.
Never.
When we connected a year ago, we weren't talking about going live on Instagram.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because you are absolutely right. And that's the beauty of networking and making connections. And what I tell my clients is that networking is building a genuine, authentic connection.
Yes.
Or whatever. Not because I need you right now. And again, had we not connected a year ago, the comment or me checking in last week would not have yielded this today.
No.
It's because we were already connected. Mm-hmm. And we were able to see each other, you know, keep up with each other socially and things like that. So you're right. I love that announcement about the seed. I'm going to do a live on that. I love that. Don't leave
you. You can have that.
Got it?
And think about that as your gardening as well. Like, you know, there are some seeds that you can plant now that won't do as well because you're planting them in the spring. And maybe they're supposed to be planted at a different time. So there's timing in all of this as well. And so just making sure that we're doing our due diligence, we're staying connected, we're being authentic, we're showing up. Barbara, you kept popping up on my feed, even though you and I weren't having a conversation. I knew what you were doing. I saw you in my peripheral.
Yes.
So when last week happened, I wasn't talking to a stranger, even though we hadn't spoken over that year. I was speaking to someone that I was still familiar with.
Yeah, that is such a beautiful point. Such a beautiful point. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I had so much fun having that live with Andrea. I hope that you took away some gems, some nuggets, and things that are going to help you during this time. And not just during this time, but in the time to come. So think about, are you passionate about what you do? And if not, know that as long as you're breathing, you can make a different choice. I'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Career Connections. You can find us at www.careerpathwaysconsulting.com or on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter under Career Pathways Consulting. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, don't be satisfied with the status quo in your career and life. Expect greater, because life is too short to do anything different. See you next time.